So let us go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now as we consider our text, which is verses 19 through 22. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we do acknowledge that you have granted unto us an understanding of your will. You have revealed to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit how we are to live our lives in response to your grace. And so we pray that as we consider our text, these commands that are found, these application of what was previously established as concerning your grace, and now the response to grace, the thankful response to grace, is obedience, service unto you. And so we pray that you would equip us and enable us to understand, to know, and to do your will. We thank you once again for giving us the multitude of gifts. Enable us, O Lord, to honor you by using them aright. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we celebrate Mother's Day. And you may be wondering, how does this text relate to Mother's Day? Well, we're going to find out. We'll try to figure that one out. Question number 104 in the Heidelberg Catechism is an exposition of the fifth commandment. That fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. And Paul says it this way, and this commandment to honor your father and mother has a promise to it, that it may be well with you and that you live long upon the earth. And so the fifth commandment is beneficial. There's a benefit to it. There's a positive. Again, it's a positive command to honor your father and your mother. And so today we're going to be attempting to honor our mother. So question 104 explains, how do we do so? How do we honor? It says, or how do we fulfill the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to all their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their infirmities, since it is God's will to govern us by their hands. And so there is that idea of honor, love, and faithfulness. So how do I honor my father and my mother? I love them, I'm faithful to God, and I show faithfulness with them, and I submit to their good instruction and correction, and bear patiently with their infirmities. There's many infirmities that we have as well. I'm sure that kids, I'm sure that you could find those. What are the strengths of your parents and one of your weaknesses of your parents? We're going to focus a little bit more on the strengths of your mother today. We're called to also be patient with them. For it is God's will God has given them to us. And so we're going to look at these verses from that perspective of honoring those in authority, especially our fathers and mothers. If you go back into the letter and turn with me back to chapter 2, when these authors, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, wrote, they described their care and their love for this mission work, these Christians, in the following terms. So chapter 2, they write, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as nursing mothers cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. And so here, Paul and Silas and Timothy are describing themselves as nursing mothers. These are new Christians. They've just met them. They have maybe spent 3, maybe 4 months with them. And yet they're saying that they would be willing to lay down their life like a mother would be willing to lay down her life for her children. So these said that they love us, or they love the church, so that they would be willing to do so. And then furthermore, in verse 11, they write, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory." And so there they describe themselves as being fathers. So as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, they wrote this letter to them, this concern for them. And so as we look at this text, we are looking at some of those exhortations of a father and a mother. And so we'll look at these commands in that light. Again, this is a letter of comfort to a struggling church. The expression is love, and also the desire to minister to them, even though they're separated from them by large distance. They didn't have the internet back then. They could only communicate via letters. And so in a sense, you have that here today. And also, I wanted to set in our minds again, remember last week, the sermon title last week was Portable Treasures. We were looking at verses 16, 17, and 18. And these, again, are commands. And when we looked at those as portable treasures, we started off by talking about that you are a treasure to God. In Christ, we are the portable treasures, according to Malachi. We are his special treasure. And how much more so your mother, as an example of one that I hope and pray that you treasure as a gift from God. There are so many ways that I could describe that. So as we're looking at these texts, let's keep that in mind. So the first point in the outline there, and I'm going to read the proposition or the theme. Christ has provided his elect all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has revealed these gifts through his word and spirit and calls us to use them for the glory of God and for our good. And so examine yourself in light of the following questions. So the three points are formulated in questions. And so the first question is, do you have a receptive or a teachable spirit? One of the things that as we stop and think about mothers is part of nurturing a child is to teach them, right? Mom desires for you to grow in your abilities to know and understand and live. And so one of the ways that that is done is through teaching. We are commanded, parents are commanded, to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Even as far back as Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament, they were commanded to, when they walk, when we sit down, when we rise up, we are to teach. We are to meditate and teach God's word. We are to train our children. We just read earlier in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was designed as a teaching tool, discipleship tool, for sons and daughters to be able to live successfully in this world. And so one of the blessings that we have is that our parents, and in particular focusing on our mother, they desire for you to grow. And to grow up. They don't desire for you to stay a baby or ignorant. They desire for you to be able to grow up. And as your body grows up, so your mind and your abilities as well. And so they become teachers. And whether you are sent to a public school, private school, or homeschool, the parents are still required by God to make sure that you are taught. And so thank you, Lord, for providing for us our primary teachers, and that is our parents, and especially our mother.
Lord.
So verse 19 says, do not quench, do not extinguish the Spirit. That Spirit who is, according to the scriptures, sent to us to be our teacher. So how can we extinguish the Spirit? And the answer is, he can be grieved. Okay? He is abiding with us. We can extinguish our zeal for God. We can extinguish our faith. We can extinguish our love. These can be extinguished by sin. Sins such as vain thoughts. So it starts from the heart. Or idle words. Or wicked deeds. These all war against the Holy Spirit and his work in us. And so we are commanded not to quench the Spirit. Back in the day when this was written, this letter was written, if you wanted light in your house, you used some kind of fire. Right? You didn't have electricity. So if you wanted to be able to see, you would have candles. And you would light the candle with a fire to be able to see. And so fire in the minds of the original audience was what brought light to you. Fire is what brought heat to you. Okay? Fire was a very important blessing. To quench or extinguish the fire can mean that you can't see and that you can't live. What are the elements of a fire? We refer to it as a triangle. What are the three elements that keep a fire going? There's heat, there's oxygen, and there's fuel. Take away one of those three, and what happens to the fire? It is quenched, it is put out, it is extinguished, right? And so fire extinguishers are designed to take away one of those three during a fire, and the fire goes out. So how do we quench the Spirit? Well, Calvin said it this way. Number one, we quench the Spirit by pouring water on it or taking away its heat. Or by smothering it, taking away the air. Or by the removal of fuel. And in particular, the Word of God. And fourthly, he says, stir up the gift by neglect, if we do not. And so there are many ways that we can quench the Spirit. So what are we to do? How do we overcome? The first and the most important is to seek the Lord and his righteousness. Okay. The truth that we hold, even the Apostles' Creed we declared, and all of the understanding concerning his resurrection, his ascension, his, and in glory, and his coming again, all of these are tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Or we would say the gospel. And so again, coming back to the gospel, seeking the Lord and seeking his righteousness, of finding in him our purpose. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you need will be provided. And so the first and foremost, when we find ourselves quenching or extinguishing the Spirit or grieving the Spirit, is to look to the Lord, to repent of our sins, and look to Christ, what he has done and what he is doing. And so, focus on the Lord. Secondly, study to show yourself approved unto God. I would highly recommend to you Psalm 119. There you see the attitude of someone who was desirous of learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He cries out again and again concerning that desire. And we pray that God would do that work in us as well, that we would have that hunger and that thirst, that he would restore that zeal for his word. Thirdly, stir up the gift that is in you. Desire earnestly the best gift. Desire earnestly that love for God. And so you have, again, focus on the Lord, focus on his revelation, his word, and express that by thankfulness, which we'll look at in a minute, and love. Second question. Do you have an appreciative spirit? And again, we're talking about moms. Do we really appreciate our mothers? I think sometimes it's hard to appreciate when they're near. I know for myself, now my mom has passed away, and when I stop and I think about my mom, I more and more see all the good things that she has done for me, all how much she put up with me as a child, and all I was a very crazy kid, and I used to practice parachute jumping off of the roof of the garage. And I remember at one point in time, my mom saying to me, if you go out and kill yourself, I can't stop you, but please don't ask me to stand and watch you. My mom was there when I needed her, and I appreciate her more now, I hate to say it, with her gone, than it was when I lived with her. Sometimes that is a danger, right? And so kids, do you have an appreciation for your mother? Sometimes it takes a minute to step back and say, okay, what has my mom done for me? Right? It takes some work sometimes because like it says in the catechism, it's easy to see her infirmities, right? It's so easy to find fault. But what are the things that you have been given, the gifts that you've been given through your mom? Do you actually look for those? And not simply just say, thanks, mom, but be able to actually say, thanks, mom, this is why I say thank you. So it is here in this passage again. Do not despise prophesying. Prophesying or authoritative preaching of God's will, that is his word. Israel, as you study in the Old Testament, Israel hated the prophets. It was not a job that you wanted to have. Not a job I want to have because I know what happens to prophets. What happens to them? They get stoned, they get their heads cut off, they get abused, they are hated, and so on. Why? Because they brought the word of God and it convicted Israel of sin and judgment. And so I don't want to hear about that. And so I'm going to shut up the messenger because I don't want to hear the message. Right? The natural man in Adam hates divine revelation. Why? Again, because it brings a reminder and a knowledge of sin and rebellion against God. It exposes the suppression and it also shows the guilt. It's amazing. If you want to rile up many people, all you have to do is start talking about the Bible or pull this out, and they are greatly offended. And they now, and one of the things I've been amazed at is how when someone is speaking in public, once they say, the Bible says, they're dismissed, right? or even worse, attacked. They can quote Confucius. They can quote anybody, but don't you dare quote the Bible. Why? Because the natural man hates divine revelation. The world mocks and ridicules the preaching of the cross. Paul said that he had to deal with that already. He says that the Greeks looked at it at preaching as, oh, that's foolishness. It's just foolishness. You don't need to listen to the preaching of the word. Do not despise prophesying, the preaching and teaching of God's word. So what is prophecy in this particular passage and verse? Prophecy, as one author said, prophecy is the interpretation made suitable to present use. In other words, what the sermon is, what the preaching is taking the word of God and making it suitable for present use. In other words, it's taking what was written 2,000 years ago and applying it to today. Do not despise prophesying, but rather develop an appreciation for the proclamation of God's word. Desire earnestly the sincere milk of the word, Peter says, that you may grow thereby. You may not remember this as a nursing child, but your mother does, how much that child, you, cried for milk, cried to be fed, at times not allowing her to sleep because you were hungry in the middle of the night over and over again. You don't remember that, but... and she probably doesn't want to remember that. But we do remember that. Even though some of us didn't have the equipment to help. Desire earnestly, like an infant, the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Do you have that desire? Do you have that appreciative spirit, that thankful spirit, which then motivates you to pursue that which you're thankful for? And then thirdly, verses 21 through 22, the third question is, do you have a discerning spirit? Again, test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Prove all things. One of the things that I mentioned earlier is your mother desires that you would grow up, that there would be a time that you would leave the house or be able to provide for yourself, for working or whatever. Her desire is for you to not stay a baby, but to become mature. And again in the scriptures, the same thing is true there. The desire of God is for you to become mature. It was interesting to stop and think about it. In the Old Testament, in many ways, God treated Israel like children. I jokingly say that God used flannel graph stories to teach lessons. He used a lot of physical objects to be able to communicate truths. For example, think of the sacrifices. The sacrifices of the bulls and the lambs and the goats and the sheep and the birds. The shedding of blood is what is necessary for the remission of sins. Right? How do we teach that the wages of sin is death through the death of sacrifices, pointing to the death of Christ? How do we understand that we need a mediator between God and man? Well, God raised up Moses and Aaron and so on, many mediators. How do we understand the holiness of God? Well, he built the tabernacle and the temple and all of that, all taught of the holiness of God. God used many things that, like working with small children. But Paul says in the New Testament, now he says God treats you like an adult. He wants to be able to talk to you like an adult. And so God wants you to grow and become more and more mature. And so here we have this statement. In order to do so, you have to be able to be discerning. Do you have a discerning spirit? The command is to prove all things. Now, there are two errors when it comes to following this command. One error is to reject every kind of doctrine indiscriminately. I don't care. I ain't listening because I know it's wrong. I know what I know, and I'm not going to hear or learn. Some people actually react in that way. On the other hand, the other extreme is embracing everything presented in the name of God without distinction. That can be a danger as well. Paul writes of the Berean that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica, these recipients of our letter. Why? Because they heard the words of Paul and then they studied the scriptures to see if these things were so. He says they were good students of the word of God. They were to be commended. And so we are to prove all things, not just simply reject everything and not simply accept everything. How do you develop that discerning spirit? Well, I have three or four steps. Number one is receive the word of God with all readiness of mind. So again, that same idea of saying, okay, I am going to hear what is being taught or what is found in the scriptures, whether it's reading or if it's preaching or teaching. The first is, okay, let me hear with a readiness of mind. But then secondly, search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. Or another way of saying this, judge what you're being taught according to scripture. Okay. Testing teaching with scripture. So search the scriptures whether these things are so. Cleave or hold fast to that which is good. As he says, hold fast, verse 21, to what is good. And avoid that which is evil. That which does not seem good because it is evil in God's sight. This requires wisdom and discernment. Avoid or abstain from that which is evil. Any forms of evil. And so again, the goal here is maturity. The goal here is to honor those in authority over us, those who are responsible for us, like unto our mother, who loves us and desires that we would grow. So even more so does God love us and desires for us to grow.
Amen.
And so although our text today is commands, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. All of these commands are designed for what? For God's glory, to honor our Heavenly Father, right? And for our good. Just like our Heavenly Father desires our good. And so, how can we honor our mother this day? By honoring God. By, again, examining ourselves. Do I have a teachable spirit? Secondly, do I have an appreciative spirit? Am I thankful to God for what He has given to me? And thirdly, do I have a discerning spirit, or at least a desire to develop that? Do I desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? My prayer is that you do. and that God will grant unto you opportunities as well as you pursuing them. So again, I open the sermon with, do you appreciate what God has given you? You do? Prove it. Now we pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we again thank you that you have granted unto us this letter, even though it was written so long ago to another group of people in a different language, different culture. Yet these truths, these commands are as applicable today as it was then. And so we pray that you would do that work, the work of the Holy Spirit. You, Holy Spirit, would work and teach us and apply to us these things. That first and foremost, we would that you would develop in us even more so a thankful heart. That we would appreciate the gifts you've given to us, as we have asked and we have said before, so we say again. That you would enable us, O Lord, to be thankful to you for such redemption you've given to us in Christ and in the many gifts that you've given to us, both your word and your people, including our mothers and fathers and those in authority over us. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant unto us that hunger for you and for your word, that that spirit would not be quenched, but our zeal would be renewed. Our faith would be strengthened. Our love for you would grow more and more. We pray, O Lord, also for the ability to develop a discerning spirit, to grow in maturity, to grow in grace. We ask these things for your glory's sake, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.